SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back at Belmont Park, about 45, 50 minutes to fill out weekend preview. And from what I understand, we're getting Hammer mid-bite on a breakfast burrito. Good morning.
No, whoa. Oatmeal. Oatmeal and
fruit,
my friend. Oatmeal and fruit, my friend. Every single morning. You laughing? You know, now I'm not saying I won't have a slice of pizza and a few donuts afterwards, but every morning, oatmeal and fruit to start the day. So yes,
I'm very impressed. I do. I
two
am.
2 years.
Do you go with the what do they call it? Rough cut oatmeal or run of the mill?
Well, I don't know. I got blueberries, which I don't
steel
like.
Cut.
I got strawberries, which I don't like, and oatmeal, which I don't like. Rosie puts it in a bowl for me, and I eat it, and I just do it. So, anyway,
it's
a good thing for the head. Like I said, as soon as the show's over, I may have a slice of pizza and a meatball sandwich and a donut, you know, whatever's laying around, but at least I start good.
Well, we're off to a good start here, and, you know, for all the concern about making it to the end of this long, you know, long death march since December, the Bataan march. You keep coming up with entertaining racing, and you look at this Beholder Mile tomorrow. What more could you want in terms of putting, you know, three top fillies and mares shoulder to shoulder?
Oh, you want to know what more I could want? You know, this is why I don't sleep at night. So anyway, no, Beholder's great. We switched it to a mile last year to become the only grade one mile for fillies and mares. And we ran a three-horse field, three grade one winners. Songbird was stabled here, ended up going to Delaware. So I was kind of upset at that. So this year we've got three good horses. Selcourt was going to run. She got a little setback. Fault, who won the grade one Santa Margarita and also won a stake on the turf, could have run, and she's going to New York. So that would have been another grade one winner. And then there's American Gal, who, boy, sure loves this area to train in, but refuses to run a race at Santa Anita. So I'm real thrilled about that, is running in New York. So those horses could have been in here, and it could have been a super race, which is kind of the idea of this mile. But anyway, so you got me started on that. So we're thrilled with the race, but, you know, it's like, could have been a lot more, but no, we've been, I was very thrilled to wake up this morning and see that it's June 1st, just because, like you said, it's been a long meet, and it is a long meet, but we had a couple weekends ago was a little bit slow, but last weekend, for the 3 days, I think we put on some good racing, and then came back this weekend too, so most of the horsemen here have been great, you know, participating all the way to the end. And after here, of course, there's a 3 week run at Los Al and then to Del Mar. But no, it's been good. The weather, you know, knock on wood, we're at the time of year that any day that it's under, you know, 85, 90 is a good weather day. And it's just been it's been overcast in the morning and then kind of cool. It's supposed to get up a little bit higher this weekend, but no, it's you know, knock on wood, it's been pretty good. We raised the purses. We had a purse raise last week, so you know, whenever that comes, that means things are going pretty good. So over the long haul, it's been good, Steve.
Very much, and you know, you've got, what do we got? 3 weeks.
12 entry days in my world.
12 entry days. All right.
One condition book. So, yeah, it's good, and be ready to take a little bit of a you know, breather and get right back into it. But next week, we'll be we'll be sitting next to each other out there in beautiful Elmont, New York, which I can't wait for that. That's going to be wonderful. You know, I heard you ask Jay about, you know, do you think this is as big of a deal as or as much interest as the American Faro Year? And I'm going to say, in my own world, no. And I'm just my own little, you know, just people that know me that aren't in the business that I talk to, and you know, my wife's friends and people that talk to. I mean, last time it was, hey, do you think he's going to win the Triple Crown? Hey, what about American Faro? Think he's going to win the Triple Crown? You know, this year, not so much, just because I think it's the bubble was burst last time with, you know, the anticipation year after year after year. You know, kind of like the Red Sox and the Cubs, you know, when they finally won, and now if they win again, it's no big deal. I think it has that kind of effect. You know, in our world, I mean, it's big, but I think in the general public, just for me, walking around doing things the last, you know, few weeks and talking to people, I don't think it's as much of a buzz just because of that. So that's just my own observation, but. I know I'm still as excited. I tell you what, I think it's great. I can't wait, but I'm just kind of still mellow about it. And here's how mellow I am is, you know, I read the other day they're going to change the silks on the horse and run on the China Club silks. Now, let me tell you what, under normal circumstances, I'd be flipping out. But I don't think, like Jimmy said, hey, step on a crack, you know, give me a fistful of 50s. And, you know, wear green at the racetrack, whatever you want to say, black cats. I'm still not walking under a ladder, but I don't know. I don't know what's going to derail this horse.
I haven't even mentioned the silks thing, but it is a sidebar going to the red jacket with the stars. And the people have been having fun with it, actually, creating one of those placards that are across from me in the infield, the famous silks of the Triple Crown winners. And yesterday on Twitter, some people created some hybrid versions of the silks, including one that was very clever. I saw the red jacket, and then they took the Windstar star, and they replaced the yellow stars with the Windstar, and that was... That made me laugh. I thought that was pretty clever.
That is. I did see a couple of them. I didn't see that one, but I'm trying to figure out what was going on, and then it finally hit me. Oh, they were trying to do the combo, but that will be interesting what gets put on there if that happens.
Well, Curlin, of course, most famously, I would think, is the horse that you think back to that was revolving jackets during his three-year-old stake run, and between... Satisha's Padua, the green with the diamond belt, and you had Midnight Cry, the black and blue jacket, and Jess Jackson, the Stone Street jacket, but they were revolving during the Curlins. They would change with every race. And just whatever, however it happened, however it fell in, and they were wearing, Alvarado was wearing the Midnight Cry jacket for the Preakness.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Now I do. So what's the weather going to be like in a week? That's what I need to know.
I think we're okay. At least the long term says okay, you know, all right. We'll just...
Good.
It can't be any worse than it's been the last 36 hours. I'll tell you that.
Every time I look up, I know. I just tell you the truth. I just want to see. I'd like to see Justify run on a fast track. I think.
Yeah,
a lot of
I think it's important. I agree.
You know,
I agree.
Just to see. I mean, you know, it's always nice to say, "Oh, look, they can run on anything." But how about a fast one to see what he can do? So that'd be great.
Agreed.
The heat we can take, anything else we can take. Just looking for a fast track.
Speaking of tracks, I want you to make a quick run through the Calbred Stakes, because we've got a nice sequence. Snow Chief, Malaire.
Yeah. Okay. So on tomorrow, Saturday, the seventh race is the Snow Chief, which is a mile and an eighth on the turf. So earlier in the year, we run the three-year-old boys on the dirt in January, and then we come with the three-year-old guys on the turf here. And then earlier we ran the fillies on the turf, and then we come back with the fillies on the dirt here. So the Snow Chief, they're going a mile and eighth. I'm going to say not too many of them have been this far. There's one of them, Continental Divide, that has and didn't do too much. I was puzzled as I was looking to try and handicap this race. You know, I've come up with a couple of goofballs. I'm on the second page here. Psycho Dar from Steven Miotti. I don't know. Looks like he's maybe an improving sort. Some of them coming out of the Golden Gate Fields race. He's done enough on the turf for me to say he can maybe do it. And I tell you what, the most intriguing horse in here is the maiden from Eddie Freeman, Hit the Seam. He's done nothing but go 6.5 on the turf. He's been closing. I mean, it looks like, remember, these are state breds. None of them are proven that much, and this horse is going to be a decent price. The horse that everyone's going to bet on, or looks like they're going to bet on, is Take the 101 or Hard Boot. Take the 101 coming off a real good effort, open company. But his lone turf effort, it wasn't terrible, but ran seventh, got beat a few lengths down there at Del Mar. He's obviously the horse to beat, but you know, strange things happen when you put the state breds together. So I might be looking for a little upset with a couple of the horses on the outside. And then the middle. You know, it's had one of those, this is too simple type of races that it's not going to be so simple. It's like when you play the all button and then the favorite wins.
Exactly.
And then we got Sunday. Sunday we have the Mel-Air. And once again, I told you, three-year-old cowbred fillies going long. Don't have too many. This is probably the first opportunity for these guys to do it. Pulpit Rider from the Mike Pipey barn. We jumped on her a few races back in that race I was talking about on the turf, the Cow Cup Oaks. And she went off, ran pretty good, then ran in graded company and didn't get beat too bad at all. And then went up north and won a little prep on the turf up there. Maybe a better turf horse. She's going to get bet. And once again, you know, maybe we can upset her a little bit. Phil D'Amato has a horse in here that's only been out a couple times. Loving Linda. Tried to get him to go in an allowance race last week. Not get him to go, but asked him why he wasn't going in a little filly American state bred allowance race. He goes, you know what? I'm trying this horse on to go long in this stake. And you know, he's become a real, real, real good trainer here. When he's trying to do something, he's usually got a purpose. And so Loving Linda, I would take a look at, see if she gets a little action on the board. One Fast Broad is in there from the Mick Ruiz barn. He hasn't been too active in the second part of the meet here. But, you know, she was something real special down around Breeders' Cup time last year. I remember she ran well and then, you know, came back okay. Her last couple races haven't been her best. You know, maybe she does enjoy going a little bit longer, and maybe this will help. But she may be overbet here, but if there's speed up front, she can come and get them. But, you know, Pulpit Rider, like I said, Loving Linda I might take a little bit of a look at, but some interesting races. And then, you know, you mentioned the Beholder, and, it's great. And actually, Ed Golden just stopped by, and he said Baffert did something very unusual this morning. He blew out Val Dori in 35 and change, which is very unlike him. And so that's a little note. It's a little warm-up. But, you know, the headliner, obviously, is Unique Bella. And she has not run since the Apple Blossom attempt, where she had a little trouble at the break and then couldn't make up the ground and finished second there. And took a little break, and we'll see, start her second half of her campaign here. And, you know, it's not going to be easy. Interestingly enough, these three horses or fillies on the outside, they have similar running styles. Paradise Woods, of course, became famous last year in the Oaks. our Oaks, the Santa Anita Oaks, and, you know, won by one off by 10, 11 lengths, came back in the Zenyatta later in the year going wire to wire. And Valdori has similar style. Maybe not as much of a need to lead, but all three of these horses seem to be look like they want to be on or near the lead. So that could be interesting. I don't see any stone-cold closers in here. But stranger things have happened, Steve, when you got the three horses with the same type of running style. How did you see this?
It's a great question, and it does beg who's going to, I don't want to say blink, but if Baffert blew out Valdori, all that's going to do is put her on the engine. So he's telling you, he's projecting for everybody that he wants Bejarano to get her to the front.
Get her going.
Yeah. So then it comes down to how Pratt and Smith look at each other, and I suppose Unique Bella is slightly more likely to pounce and to be the, yeah. No, I think that after last time's issues, I think they're going to want to be, you know, well within striking distance, and it would seem that maybe Paradise Woods is the one that, you know, being inside too, very tricky read for Flavian Pratt.
Yeah, and you know, the mile distance, you know, you kind of have to be on the engine most of the time. Yeah, there's not going to be too much time to take a little breather. Even going a mile of 16th, you got a little bit of a time to, you know, take a little rest, so to speak, during the race. This time, you're going to have to run every step. So it's interesting, and I was just looking at the other three to see, you know, if there was anything there for me to say, hey, you know what, I might pick up the pieces. You know, LaFour still has conditions left, and hasn't got beat terribly in the last couple. Maybe she picks up the pieces. Mopetism, they tried the turf a week ago. Redham, O'Neill, crew, I mean, they're very, they're game as could be. They love to run in all kinds of places. And, you know, she came from off the pace in the La Cañada, going a mile here. I mean, it's not, you know, it's out there a little bit, but it's not totally out of the question if the race were to set up in some kind of speed duel that she could pick up a little bit of the pieces. So, interesting running. Well, this is going to be a fun race to watch.
Very much. And the Nightcap comes down the hill, first level allowance, and it's a good group. And the colt that caught my eye is Hootie, turning back. And I had talked to McCarthy about Hootie earlier on, and he kind of tested the stakes waters in the Mathis to start the meet, and, you know, then has been tried a couple more times going long. So now they'll shorten up, and that might be the right elixir for Hootie in there. But it's a very good Nightcap coming down the hill.
Yeah, you're right. And as we've learned over the years, those are the type of horses. Don't be afraid of a mile and a quarter back to 6.5 at all. But you'll be in a lot of trouble if you don't mention the 8 horse as well. Tina's Exchange coming out of the D'Amato barn, and you know, hasn't raced in you know, a couple months. But as we learned the other day, last weekend with Hunt, he has no problem bringing horses back from layoffs. So they'll be tough in there as well.
Well, and I note the presence of Spokane Eagle. For Drysdale, what a year Drysdale's had. 17 for 74 on the year. He's had a great, you know, meet the spring-summer session as well. 6 for 24. Just tremendous to see Neil Drysdale winning at this kind of clip again.
Well, I think that we talked about a couple weeks ago. He's just been, he's a new, it's like a rebirth for him. He's, I don't know, the pressure's off. He's here in the morning. He's, you know, kidding around. He's not as uptight as he has been over the years when he's had, you know, bigger horses. But he's got stake horses in the barn. He's got some claimers, allowance. I think he's enjoying the game, just coming out here having fun. You know, I see him in the morning when I go you know, walking around, and he's always got a smile on his face, and so it's great. And he's running more. I said, boy, it's fun when you run, isn't it? You know, he was kind of known for, you know, waiting for that perfect spot, and now he's got horses that he can run, you know, every couple weeks. So it's great. So it's good to see Neil around here smiling.
Well, we'll be looking forward to seeing you and Jimmy Ventura here smiling next week.
We'll be there, and can't wait. Keep that, keep the rain away, and keep smiling, and we'll follow the Wonder Horse into town, and we'll see you on Friday morning next week.
Hammer, I appreciate it. Good weekend on tap at Santa Anita. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour is upon us. We might be able to fit in a quick visit with Ed DeRosa before the broadcast day starts at Churchill, and then Mike Welch and Dave Grenig will be here with me, and continues to brighten. Looks like it's going to be an okay afternoon into the Twilight card at Belmont Park. Back after this weekend preview at the races, and over at Epsom, they're running the Oaks as well. We'll keep an eye on that and give you a result. I told you earlier, Cracksman in a very harrowing Coronation Cup win. Back after a break.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9888.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
My
We're back at the races. A little Lana as we head toward the finish on this first couple of days of coverage from Belmont Park leading to next week's Belmont Week lead up. And lots of always lots of interesting visitors live. And we've had some particularly notable extended visits that kind of cropped up. The Gary Stevens. In fact, we should pull that out, and I'll send out a link to that. The Gary Stevens conversation that I'm going to guess was before I'll Have Another was supposed to try. I think that's, I'm pretty sure that's when it was. And we had an extensive visit with Stevens, and it turned into a tremendous conversation. We've got, speaking of tremendous conversationalists, Grenig and Welsh, and there's only one chair. I don't know how we're going to pull this off. Mike, do me a favor. Reach into that suitcase and grab the microphone. That's the Welsh phone, like a bat phone. All right. I don't know if there's. I think we're hard pressed. Here, take my chair. I've been sitting for 2.5 hours. Yeah, tell Dave. Here. He's got one? Oh, listen, he's so resourceful. All right, let me. I got to plug in the mic for. I didn't know if that had been discovered yet.
I think someone stole my peanuts. No, it was us.
We admitted freely.
Or only if you learned it.
Mike, swing around over this side, because I think we're gonna run short on. There we go. This is there. This is the mic, literally the mic. There we go. I tell you what, this has been easy. Hold it.
I'm good now.
All right. Beautiful. All right. It's the moment you've been waiting for. It's the culmination of DRF visitors. We talked to Pridman. We talked to Dunleavy. Grenig and Welsh, good morning.
Good morning.
It's working. We hear you.
Okay.
There we go. I suppose because he's here, we have to talk workout and the circumstances this morning where the weather just was, it was just pouring down rain. Michael?
Yeah, I mean, the weather started out foggy. Then the rain, the light rain, which was fine, kind of blew the fog out, which was terrific, because at that point we weren't wondering if we were going to see any of these works. And then it started to pour about 10 minutes before Todd would have sent his horses over to work on the main track, and Dave and I decided we better go check and make sure there's not an audible called here, no pun intended. And sure enough, we stuck our head in the barn, and he said, right now, training track. So we went back to the training track, and you know, luckily got to see, you know, both Vino, not only got to see Vino Rosso and Noble Indy, but we got to see Awesome Slew, who the Cassie people, I guess, pulled the same. Yeah, you just talked to Mark. So.
Yeah, they were going to run. They were going to work on. In fact, he sent them up. He sent them up early from Churchill to try and get them on the main track. And he had Awesome Slew and Geo Game. Both of them worked on the training track as opposed for Awesome Slew for the Met Mile, Geo Game for the Acorn. Because it just, you know, just the longer you waited, the wetter it got.
And we also came to find that Gronkowski was actually going to work on the main track this morning, but those plans got preempted altogether. So I guess we'll see him sometime tomorrow, depending on how this track dries out tonight.
Yeah, I think everyone thought that the heavier rain was going to be later in the day and maybe affect tomorrow more than today. So I think Chad thought, well, Chad Brown, the trainer of Gronkowski, thought, you know, I'll work Friday because it's going to be worse on Saturday, and then it was just terrible. And, you know, along the lines of calling audibles, at 9:30, Todd was going to work a set, four sets, I should say, at the training track. And as I'm walking in to the training track, he's walking out and telling the guys on the radio, his riders, we're going to the main track. So he came with eight more onto the main track at 9:50. He worked like eight horses from 9:50 to a little bit after 10.
And that worked out well because Dave called me as I was running down to my car to head to the training track.
Come back.
Came back. Right. So I got to see those those four sets as well, which is mostly stake horses they're going to run here next
Heart
week.
Heart Study and Outplay for the Brooklyn, Pony Up and is for the might be the Easy Goer.
The two-year-old Outshine.
Outshine worked well for the two-year-old race. And One Liner was in there, too. Once upon a time, he was a good horse, right?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I watched Todd and Entourage came zipping through here, went upstairs, and then subsequent the pairs of horses. And, boy, the clump on this track, after being sealed for those works, I mean, the noise, the thump, 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 was really notable, and those pairs
did,
all hit the
that
wire
sound
together.
Like?
Fump, fump, fump.
How do you spell that?
As opposed to splash, the splashing sound. I wasn't sure who they were, but I just saw the TAPs on the saddle cloth. So
yeah, they're all bound for a stake. I don't know what he's doing with One Liner, and Vulcan's Forge worked with Pony Up. I don't know if Vulcan's Forge is running the Met Mile or he's got something else planned for him. I think he actually might.
But it was a star-studded bunch, and luckily we were able to catch them all and weren't in transit from one track to another,
well done.
So that worked out well.
Some thoughts, I mean, when you get this kind of a condition, what do those works even mean? 101 whatever, you know, that the Belmont pair went off in.
Yeah, you know, it's a little hard to judge. Not only was the track getting wet at that point, and Dave described it as somewhere between good and muddy, but the track had been probably had 30 or 40 workers on it prior to that. It was chewed up pretty good by that point. This is the training track we're talking about. So it is a little hard to judge from a time standpoint. But, you know, they were very purposeful works as far as Todd was concerned. He's going to run a mile and a half. Five Ace wasn't going to get it today. So he had these horses go out. You know, to me, Javier, who was aboard Noble Indy, actually rode him out almost a full mile. Johnny maybe eased up a little bit quicker on Vino Rosso, but still a good 7/8 under pressure for sure. And then he eased him up the last eighth. I mean, we had him almost identical for a mile. I had 141-4 for Noble Indy, 142 for Vino Rosso. And Dave talked to Todd afterward, not me, so you can get Todd's opinions of him, which is probably worth a little bit more than what I think. But those two.
It was a different purpose. Last week, Vino Rosso and Noble Indy worked in company together, and they went a little bit quicker here on the main track. Today was more about building some stamina. As Mike said, it was really not about the 5/8 and 101 and change. It was more about the mile out time and 41-4 for Noble Indy and 42 flat for Vino Rosso. Vino Rosso, by the way, worked with Patch, and Patch, I'll have the good news and bad news. The bad news for Patch fans is he won't be running here on Belmont Day. The good news for Patch fans who are based in Kentucky is it looks like he's going to run the Stephen Foster. So
oh, nice.
Get your tickets now. I've already told Marty that he's going to have to get to the track early with the slew of Patch fans that will probably be attending that race day. By the way, Noble Indy worked with a three-year-old named Hinford, who's nominated, but I don't think he's running in the Easy Goer.
Also, Noble Indy worked in blinkers today. Did not have blinkers last time. Todd was mulling, maybe taking them off. But after today, what did he tell you?
I think he's going to take them off. His gut reaction, which is normally what he goes by, is to take them off. He actually thought the horse was more forward. Now, this was sort of an interesting comment to me. He thought the horse was more forward with the blinkers off than he was with the blinkers on. And if he's going to take them off, then maybe he wants the horse more forward. And if he wants the horse more forward, that would put him into the race.
Interesting.
You know, yeah. Windstar owns half of Noble Indy, and Rapoli owns half of Noble Indy and half of Vino Rosso, and Windstar owns Noble Indy and Justify. It's a real. I really have this picture in the starting gate here with Javier having a devil on his shoulder, with Rapoli going go go go, and Elliot on the other side going no no no, and it's just it's
Javier. If you hurt Justify's chances, you'll hate yourself forever.
There's one person I don't want to be on Belmont Day in the Belmont Stakes is Javier Castellano. What do you do if this horse is if he's galloping into the race? Even if you're not asking, but his natural gait puts him right off Justify, you know. And you come back and look at Elliot Walden, 6'10" Elliot Walden. What are you going to say?
But meanwhile, he's doing well. I mean, he's coming into the race off the last work. I thought was as good as I've seen from him. Today's work was, again, hard to judge, but very useful work. I mean, he looked fine out there. So the horse is doing well. Whether he's good enough to win a race like this, be Justify, even beat Vino Rosso, it's a little tough to tell. But he is going in, probably at his best. And we know Todd's success in the Belmont. He's had a lot of it so far, so he can get him ready. And, again, these works today – these sort of miles come a day after Todd's old boss worked Bravazo a mile yesterday. So,
yeah, this I think there's a myth that's there's going to be a myth about the Belmont that justifies the lone speed in the race and he's just going to lollygag around there. I don't think that's going to happen. There's going to be 10 other horses in the race, maybe 11. I don't think Bandu is coming, but we'll get to that another time. But I just don't see 10 jocks and 10 trainers or other eight or nine other trainers saying, yeah, just let that horse gallop along there. And I think Wayne, look, Bravazo won the Risen Star on the lead. I think he's going to be forwardly placed. I think Noble Indy, natural gate, forwardly placed. Now, is it going to be a torrid speed duel? No, that doesn't happen in the Belmont. They're not going to go 46-3, I don't think. But it's not like he's going to be, justifies just going to be out there three in front into the first turn, and it's just going to be a coronation in the 90,000 or whatever it's going to be here, just going to be screaming from gate to wire.
And Gronkowski, too. I mean, we don't know what – I mean, his style from his form, just looking now, looks like he's got speed, too. And right. We saw him work a half mile here last week, head-to-head with a pretty good sprinter, and was able to keep up. So, I mean, if they wanted to send him out early – I mean, again, I don't know if Chad wants to get into that kind of situation, you know, two Triple Crown races in a row would justify, but he's probably going to be pretty forwardly placed as well.
And this, you know, I said earlier in, as part of a different conversation that even with an 11-horse field potentially, that the draw, you never really worry too much about it at this track. However, given this conversation and the knowledge that there may be as many as three horses that are going to be interested in being forwardly placed early, then maybe the way they line up is going to be important. I mean, we saw what happened at Pimlico where Good Magic being inside of Justify completely affected the way the race ended up spilling out of the gate and the way it was run all the way around.
No question. I mean, Good Magic being forwardly placed wasn't as big an issue as being forwardly placed inside of Justify.
Yes.
I think Chad would have, if he could have flipped him to the outside, he would have taken his chances to see what would have happened. I think he would have preferred Jose Ortiz to, if he was being on the inside, be in the five path and not go over toward the inside like two path like he did. And then either make Mike make a decision, go on with it, or take back off me and see what you can do. Look, Justify looks like, though, he doesn't, you know, he's not the proverbial have to have the lead type of horse, but, you know, how many does he want to sit behind and where does he want to be? And you know Mike's, you know, look, Mike won the Belmont on Drosselmeyer here. I think he was in the five path all the way around. That, you know, he could have won the Belmont Gold Cup that day. He ran about 2 miles.
We'll obviously save the most intense decision-making for next week, since you've both been keeping close tabs on everything else. Let's spend a minute or two. We got about 6-7 minutes. Some of the subplots, and you know, you've been tracking the fields. I'm going to go see Andrew Burns later and get a handle on the undercards. They're going to draw Thursday tomorrow. They'll draw the Friday card on Sunday, and then we got the Tuesday draw. Everything else except the Belmont. That'll be drawn at Citi Field. So the Thursday and Friday cards, everybody will be able to dive in Sunday night and Monday. Some thoughts about the horses, Mike, you've been seeing, and Dave, the way some of these fields are going to shape up.
Well, the Met Mile, I mean, it looks like Mind Your Biscuits is going to be the favorite, I guess, in the Met Mile. Bolt D'Oro, we haven't seen him in person, but he worked 57 the other day at Keeneland. I just saw a video of this stretch run, and he's obviously, it's always interesting to get a talented three-year-old in the Met Mile. We haven't had one in a while. I think Mr. Ruiz is going to have a decision to make, though, as far as a rider is concerned. I think the weights will be out Saturday, and you know, I know his first preference is to have Corey Nakatani ride the horse, but I just think from a weight situation, he's going to give up too much of an advantage if he keeps Corey on there. So I'm not sure who he's going to get just yet, but that's an interesting dynamic. Coming back from Dubai, Mind Your Biscuits, he's never been successful at the mile, but, you know, at least in this level, he's got a little bit more to prove. His works that I've seen, the two works look to be very solid, but they look to be typical. I don't know that he's working any better than he worked last year. He works the same. He works fast, and he works wide.
Every once in a while, he throws in kind of a clunky work, but most of the time, he works real well. I mean, I've seen a few that I weren't crazy about. I think last summer at Saratoga, case in point, and he ran to those works.
Right.
But he looked fine here last week. I mean, it was an excellent work. You still, you know, don't know exactly how much that race, and we know it was how hard a race it was in Dubai, may have taken out of him along with the trip. I mean, he seems to be fine coming in here. We know he likes this racetrack, so you have to expect Mind Your Business is going to bring his A game over here. But at a mile, Bolteoro, I remember, I think we might have talked about it before the Derby. I had chatted with Chad Brown, and he said, with good magic, I don't mind facing Bolteoro at a mile and a quarter, but I wouldn't want to run against him at a mile. He said, I think that's his game, just from looking at him physically, and I think he's probably going to prove right on with that assessment.
And that work at Keeneland was apparently mind-blowing.
That's what they say. I mean, you know, it was fast, but, we've seen fast works here go the opposite way.
That's true.
I remember 15 years ago, Funnyside worked 57 at 5:30 in the morning, the Tuesday before the good thing about that work is that it was a week and a half. It was almost 2 weeks out from the race. It wasn't the week of the race, which was key. But in Funnyside's case, Tuesday before the Belmont Stakes, he works 57, and he was done at that point, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, he was fried, and that's actually an interesting conversation. Since we're talking one-turn races and turnbacks in some cases, Woody Stevens, any news and notes from the three-year-old scene in that group?
Yeah, the Woody Stevens, my head's exploding right now trying to figure out who the heck's running in that race of the major import, and I'm drawing a blank.
That's fine. That's all right.
I have everything upstairs, but I don't have it with me right in front.
Not a problem.
Trying to look back over the works from last week. I mean, I guess
I know Strike Power is turning back from the mile.
Strike Power look good here, and that may be his game. But Steve Asmussen is bringing Mattoli, right?
Mattoli, who I did not think was coming. Marty McGee told me today that he is coming.
Oh, nice.
And obviously, I had gotten the day after report from Steve Asmussen, and he was hedging.
With me too. He was not. He said that we would look, but that it come back.
Coming
three
back
weeks.
In 3 weeks and stretching out to the extra furlong. I actually thought they might, put together a plan that would keep him three quarters, but it's hard to give up. You're going to be favored for a grade two $500,000 race. It's pretty prestigious, like the Woody Stevens. Plus, it also gives you a line if he does handle the 7/8, and you know that the Alan Jerkins is in play at Saratoga. So, yeah, Mattoli coming makes that race, pretty much established.
We also had this morning in the fog for Graham Motion work, Rugby Man, who may be an up-and-coming three-year-old. He's going to run in the easy goer, and he's not going to turn back to the Woody Stevens and
Race is actually coming up a lot stronger than in the past. Chad Brown said this morning he's going to run Mask in there as well. So that was not initially on the plan. But that Mask and Rugby Man, you have two lightly raced, very talented horses coming in to that race. I see you have the Acorn up there on the screen. Caledonia Road and Monomoy Girl will head that that list. So you have the champion, and then you have the horse that's probably the leader of the three-year-old filly division right now.
And Caledonia Road, even Ralph Nixon kind of admitted to me she worked great here the other day, and he was very pleased, but he still thinks he's a little bit up against it at a mile, especially just coming back, just her second start. He's really looking forward to meeting the rest of this division when they get up to Saratoga for the two-turn races. But with a little help up front, and obviously she's run well over this track and doing well, you can't throw Caledonia Road out. If she gets a little pace help, that's what she's going to need. But her best is probably still ahead of her the rest of the year.
Manhattan's very interesting race. High Happy, who's quickly developing into one of the better marathon, longer turf races. He actually worked today on the training track.
Yeah.
We had him going with Blind Ambition, who's I think running on one of the undercard races
before the training track turned to mud. It was still okay at that point.
Robert Bruce, who's undefeated and won here for Chad Brown.
A horse with two first names.
Yes, Bobby Bruce is going in there. Spring Quality is going in there. Luke Cullen and Manitoulin, I see you there on your list. They're running. Flip that up a little bit there, my man. Beach Patrol, obviously, a very talented runner, will definitely be in that race as well. Beach Patrol worked with Analyze It the other day, and it was a solid move here. And Analyze It will be the favorite, and in tomorrow's Penine Ridge
against Catholic Boy. So that's kind of an interesting hookup there.
And also, just a little note there: Christophe Clement told me this morning that Up the Ante will probably scratch from from the Pennine Ridge because of a foot issue. We already know that Hawkish is going to scratch and go to Penn National for the Penn Mile. So you'll have a field of six in here, and really, I just don't see much other speed than analyze it as he dominated the Cecil B. DeMille on the front end back at his last race as a two-year-old. It's a very solid group of six, no matter what, you know, even with those two out of there. Because I think a horse that bears watching for later in the year is Irish Territory. I love his maiden win at Churchill Downs on the Derby Day undercard. And Untamed Domain always brings it. He doesn't always get there, but he usually shows up with a solid late run. So I think even though it's only going to be a six-horse field, it's an interesting race. As you're pointing out to me here, was a story that I wrote that I almost forgot that I wrote, but joking. Who hasn't been seen since the Vossberg of 2016.
Unbelievable story.
Is back and is looking to run next week in the True North, a race that he also won in 2016. Charlie Baker says, I may shoot low, but I'm aiming high. The horse has had 10 works. The horse had, you know, we shipped out to, just a quick synopsis of why we haven't seen him for so long. He shipped out to the Breeders' Cup in 2016. When he got to Santa Anita, he got sick, and that illness got worse. He got developed into pneumonia. He stayed in California for like 3 months or maybe longer while he recovered, and then he shipped back to Charlie Baker here in New York early in 2017. And as he's wont to do, he popped a splint bone on two occasions, and that just delayed his training. But he's was he nine? And you know, if he were to come back and win the True North off a 20-month layoff,
that'd be great.
I'm going to bronze Charlie Baker right then and just take it right up to Saratoga Springs and put it right on the wall there.
Trying to look through my notes here because I saw him out of the gate. His last work was out of the gate on the training track the other day. We'll have that report. And, again, all of these reports. We are going to have a clocker report Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the undercard races as well as the main event. But I can't even find him on here, which day it was.
It was a minute and 4/5 officially, but I think you actually had him a little bit faster out of the gate.
I had him faster.
Worked absolutely a New York Bred Stakes horse.
Well, we got obviously a lot to do next week, and we are going to try to get to all the cards Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And, you know, the Wonder again, the Intercontinental, those are on Thursday. The True North, there's the two-year-old races, the Tremont and the Astoria, and the New York Invitational is just tremendous. And we're going to make sure that everybody is well-equipped. I can also tell you that before the boys sat down, Forever Together, not the Augustan Stable version, but the Galileo version for Coolmore, 6-1, Danica O'Brien and Aiden, mild upsetter in the Epsom Oaks.
Wow.
And, I mean, and one with ears pricked by open lengths. I mean, crushed. And hope some of you for $14 crushed as well. There you go. The weekend upon us. Racing starts here at 3 o'clock. I want to thank Rich Migliori, James Scully, Marty McGee, Jay Pridman, Jim Dunleavy, Mike Welch, Dave Grenig, and Hammer, Casey on the board back in Pompano, Margate. We'll come to you live all next week from beautiful Belmont Park and from the Belmont Cafe Broadcast Center.
I think we should name this the Steve Bick Broadcast Center.
Burgers on me after the show.
Burgers? We're going to, come on, we know where we're going.
I know where we're going. We're all going, right, to, we're now, going maybe to, not right after
hey,
the show.
I just want to throw in a little RIP to John Mazzi.
Oh, absolutely.
An Ira cameraman who passed away earlier this week.
That, the greatest.
He had the funeral today
the
and
greatest.
Went to the wake last night. Just to really love, if everybody loved their job as much as John Mazzi loved their job, we'd be in a better place.
Yeah,
what was this
one
saying? One more and out the door?
One more and out the door.
Maz, RIP. Good luck this weekend, everybody. Talk to you Monday from Belmont Park.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Eddie O's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.